This is Rev Thoughts, snackable conversations between Tim Thompson and myself, Joel Pilger, discussing what it really takes to run a thriving creative business.
All right, Joel, so before we jump into this topic, or as we jump into this topic, I actually have a counter question that I've been thinking about in this process. And I think others have responded in LinkedIn similar to this thought, is that I feel like we can make an assumption that agency, to be an agency or to sell strategy, is better than something else. So I kind of want to ask the question first, should people want to be an agency? Is this actually a goal? Is there levels of accomplishment or levels of value that if you miss out on it, you've held yourself back? What's the purpose, and should people want to be to begin with?
Yeah, that's actually a good question, because I think we could also argue, right, for a minute, why not to be more agency? And because some people, when they hear agency, they get triggered. I certainly do. It's kind of a hot button word. Why? Because a lot of us hear advertising agency, and that's a whole world unto itself. And so first of all, I would say, I don't think I would advocate anybody in our industry, hey, be more like an ad agency, because first and foremost, ad agencies really, for the most part, are still charging for their time. They sell their time, and when they hire you, they buy your time, and that's a very broken model. So anyone that's charging for your time, don't be more agency. Okay. That would be one thing. I think the other interesting thought is to think about, what does the word agency mean? Like, what is the definition of an agent or agency? And I know one definition that I do like about agency is the word suggests independence and free will and self-determination, right? Like, if I have agency, it means I have freedom to do what I decide is right and what's best. That's pretty interesting. I think that's an interesting concept. And Tim, you had another word or another definition of agency.
No, I actually follow the same way. It's the idea of acting on behalf of another person too. So the ability to freely act on behalf of someone else is an important aspect. And I think that part we imagine is somewhat of a dream job or a dream client, someone giving us the permission to say, hey, I trust you. As Seth said, my work speaks for myself. I can do it for you. Just give it to me and I'll run. We kind of would love that moment of knowing our expertise that's at such a level that is freely granted to us, and we have all the ability to produce it within our own free will. But there's also often an exchange, a value exchange, I think, with agency. And I'm not always convinced that every creative person would thrive with just total free will. I do. Right. I believe there's a skill level to what we're doing. And if some of us were to be honest, you know, a blank canvas with no direction is much harder than here's some direction, here's a purpose, here's a deadline, here's the material, here's the tool. And you go, okay, cool. Because I have that, and then the piece that I uniquely have, I can contribute. So there is a scale that some of us completely thrive in without total independence. And others, I think,
right.
Yeah, I think the brand or whoever you're working for might do better if they listen to you and your expertise before they made their assumptions.
Well, so let's just make this acknowledgement. So first of all, these terms, it's difficult when we start to generalize, right? Because I know there are ad agencies out there that are awesome and amazing, and they don't just charge for the billable hour. So I'm not slamming on every agency, right? I'll just say this. I know that there's been this gradual shift in the industry. Like, as I talk to owners of, you know, many of these top studios and production companies, everyone is saying, yeah, 10, 20 years ago, we were doing tons of work for agencies and a little bit of work for brands. And it's been like this, where I've heard stories of like 80-20 of, it used to be 80%, you know, 20 brand, now it's 20-80. It's overwhelmingly working directly for brands. And I think there's that interesting question of, oh, so you're more like an agency, meaning you're going right to the client. You're working on the problem, as opposed to when you're working for the agency, they've often solved the problem and they're coming to you for execution. And that's okay. But sometimes it's, I think a lot of us feel like if I could just get in there and work with the people and the decision makers and be closer to the decisions, I could create a lot more value. I would be appreciated for my ideas. I could lead this thing. I could run this thing and make a lot of awesomeness show up, right? Whatever that means. And that's, I think, the more aspirational idea that we're suggesting of being more agency means get in there and don't be afraid to come in and have that conversation as a studio or production company where otherwise normally only an agency would be allowed to enter.
Yeah. So I think that's a perfect place of where we want to enter this conversation is recognizing that there is opportunity, there's higher value, there's greater returns from the work that you're doing and not presenting yourself as an agency, therefore not asking for the thought leadership you've put into the piece, not asking to be compensated for that thought leadership, instead only be compensated for your hours or the deliverable, you really are selling yourself short. Someone is benefiting from your overall expertise, understanding, strategy, direction. That's going to give them a greater return, introduce them to a new marketplace, open up new doors, meet a demographic, get recognition, you know, all those things that people are looking for. And because of the work you're doing, the ideas you have, for you to just simply make a flat rate right. upon delivery is right. really selling yourself short and the opportunity and capability of what's possible in a relationship with the client.
How did you phrase it, Tim? You were talking about, we do all this thinking, but then in the end, we think we're getting paid because we said, hey, here's your 30-second spot. That's what you're paying me for.
Yeah, what we've done is we're actually selling ourselves short as if the deliverable is the result, right? So we almost beg to choose us to deliver the good. And therefore, we give out all this huge value up front. And if I was a buyer and I could talk to a bunch of people executing my deliverables and get really good ideas for them for free, I'm not going to offer to pay them, especially if the competition requires them to fight over my pennies at the end of a project to give somebody for execution. I wouldn't want that at all. So there has to be a mechanism inside the seller that waits for a minute and asks more questions of why. Hey, before I get started, before I start answering your questions, before I start begging for your project, tell me why we're doing this. Tell me what you're looking for as a result. What would the overall gain be if I did this successfully? What does a failure look like? And to go into that level of questioning, what we said last night is we're really afraid of that level of questioning because we think it shows our lack of expertise. That sense of deficiency we have, wondering if we can even compete at all. When we ask questions, we're just proving it. That's what we're telling ourselves inside our mind. But then I asked the question, can you imagine going to a doctor's office and having the doctor ask no questions, just start prescribing things? What you'd think, and then the doctor goes, hey, by the way, I'm the cheapest bid. I'm not going to ask you any questions. Here, just take these pills. You'd go, right? So you'd say like, no, an expert you recognize sits down and says, hey, let me ask you a series of questions. How soon did this happen? Where did it come from? When did you recognize it? How much do you know about it before I start telling you what I think it is? That's a high level of expertise. And then the doctor says, by the way, because I'm asking all these questions, I'm charging you more. My discernment and understanding of what questions to ask you has a high value because I'm getting that out of you. And that shifting to an expert mindset gets somebody in the process of working with you and engaging you at a higher level and upping your game, getting paid sooner for more strategic work.
Well, there was one story, I won't name names here, but there was one story of one creative director that was saying, you know, as we've slowly embraced this method of slowing things down and asking those questions, especially with brands, that a brand will say, you know, we need to do a video. And we start to ask the why questions and really try and understand and empathize with your situation, that almost every time the scope of the engagement gets much larger. Because wait, you said you needed a video, but as we started asking questions, we realized, well, have you thought about, and wouldn't it be cool if, and all of a sudden the brand is like, oh my gosh, I thought we just needed a video for our trade show. But now that we're talking to you, Feed People, you've helped us see the opportunity to refresh our brand and create a whole campaign and, you know, all these other moving parts. Because, right, very, very rarely are we actually executing in a vacuum. Just like make my thing and go on to fight another day. So I thought, well, that's really interesting. I mean, I like that idea. I think, well, I mean, that's just me personally, but I like the idea of going into a brand and just, instead of doing the one-off thing, how can I engage in a way that we're going to really move your business forward and let's become the solution that's developing a whole system as your creative agency. There's that word.
Yeah, Seth is the same thing too. He's just saying, asking questions back to the client. Well, initially it sounds a little scary. It really does get the landscape nailed down. Defining the risk versus reward, which is really huge. That's your business decision that you're making when you engage that client, because the client doesn't choose you. You choose the client. So really good to know. I want to tell you about a place to connect that you might not know about. It's our online community called Rev Community. It's a great place to get to know other creative business owners like yourself, to share some thought leadership and read other encouragement, to be challenged in this new marketplace, new technology, ideas, economic trends. And it's a place to research. Check out many of the resources we have online, our videos, and of course, this podcast. Join us today at revthink.com/community. If you're a creative studio owner, feel free to join us today at revthink.com/community. I look forward to seeing you there.